Hey, my village, it's your coach Mo back with a new episode. So today is part four of the co-parenting series. Today we're going to talk about communication, because there is no way that you can co-parent if you can't talk to the other parent. You have to know how to communicate with each other. And this is probably one of the most important parts, because everybody have, just like we have different styles of parenting, we have our different styles of communicating. For example, like me and my son Dad, we cannot communicate like serious information or situations through text or email. It's never interpreted correctly. This is a problem that I see a lot in parents trying to learn how to communicate. Is you're going to perceive the message the way you perceive that person. So the way you feel about that person, that's how their message come across to you. So if you have negative feelings about that person, or you just like bitter, anything they say to you, even if it's a compliment, positive, you would take it in a negative way, because that's how you perceive them. So communication, like interpretation of texts and stuff like that, it's based on how that person feel about you. I'm the type of person where we either have to talk in person, me and my son and Dad have to talk on the phone, or we have to FaceTime. I have to see your emotions, your expressions, to know you're not being a sarcastic jerk. Because I'll be like, why did you say that way? And be like what? What did I say? I just only said this. And I would take it in the wrong way. And I'd be like, oh, well, I thought you said it or meant it like this. So that's why we discovered we cannot do that form of communication. We have to be in person, hear the emotions, see the person or whatever. Because I have to know you ain't. Because he was sarcastic a lot. So I'm like, you ain't being a jerk. So I could take you serious right now. So it's very important to discover your form of communication. So in this part of my co-parenting program, I work with parents to teach them how to effectively communicate with each other. So I do this by having them, because I know a lot of people used to ask me, like, how do I deal with the other parent when I can't communicate with them without it turning into like an argument? And I can relate, because I used to be that parent where I'm like, dang, every time I say something to you, you take it in a negative way. And now I don't want to talk to you. Like, you just jacked up the whole mood. We was doing fine. Then all of a sudden, I'm triggered now. So I don't even want to talk to you. So we'll go months, sometimes years without talking, because we didn't know how to communicate. So I first start by telling people, I always encourage all my clients when I first start to work with them in the beginning, before we start doing the work, their prep work and their homework, I tell them, take the love language test. It's at 5lovelanguages.com. It's very important. You cannot really connect and have a genuine connection with someone if you don't know how they like to be loved and stuff like that. Not telling you that you got to love the other person, but it's healthy to know their love language. Like me, my love language, my number one love language is affirmation, words of affirmation. So I have to hear thank you, I appreciate you. I have to hear I love you. I have to hear you're doing a good job. That's how I feed off of like the world. That's how I get my energy. That's how I feel appreciated. You have to tell me. I'm a show and tell kind of person. I have to see it. I mean, I can see it, but I have to hear it. So you can show me you love me and appreciate me all you want. You could buy me gifts. Gifts is probably my least love language. Gifts is not my love language. Like, so I used to meet people and like guys would try to buy me stuff, and it didn't mean nothing to me because it wasn't my love language. So it's always important to know the other person's love language. Like me and my son, knowing his love language changed our whole relationship. So I know his love language is gifts. He likes to be rewarded. So just like I like you to compliment me on something I did good, he likes to be rewarded. So it's the total opposite. His love language is opposite of mine. I also like acts of service. So like when he tell me, Mom, I got you, I'm gonna do the dishes and stuff, oh my gosh, like I hate doing the dishes, like I appreciate you taking one thing off the plate for me to have to deal with because I'm doing it by myself. So I appreciate those small things. So he knows that. So because he know my love language, even though he's only 13 now, but we started doing the love language thing probably around, he was 8 or 9. So he know Mommy needs to hear her love you, appreciate you. So always take the love language test. They have it on the fivelovelanguages.com website, and they have the test for kids and they have it for adults. So send the link to the other parent, have them screenshot their score and send it to you so that you know how to approach them. You know how to address them. Because it makes a difference when you're trying to communicate with them. Like my son, dad know when he pissed me off, like my love language is also food. Tacos are my favorite. Like he used to bring me some tacos and then we have a conversation and he'd be like, here goes some tacos. I apologize. Thank you for raising my son and stuff like that. Like that's how we used to forgive each other and make up, like, oh, thank you for the tacos, like I appreciate, that's one less thing I gotta go do is get some food because I'm working hard. And he'd be like, I know you're working hard and it's overwhelming, like I appreciate you taking care of my kid. Like I just have to hear that and it make a big difference in our co-parenting relationship. But he knows me because we've known each other since we were 15. We were childhood best friends, so I know him, he know me, and we know each other's triggers. So it's always important to do that love language test because some people believe in it, some people don't, but it do make a difference. And it's made a difference in all my clients because I do it with every last one of my parenting clients. But it's also important to learn which form of communication work for you and the other parent. So whether it be phone calls, whether it be in person, whether it be text, email, video call, you have to figure out what works for you. If you always arguing with these long text messages and stuff, things get misconstrued, misinterpreted, do not text or email. That is not y'all form of communication. Also, you have to learn how to talk to the other person and not talk at. This was a problem with me and my son, dad. I was the talk at person. You don't do this and you don't do that and you need to do this and you need to do that. And he'd be like, don't tell me what to do. Like that automatically put him on defense because he's military, a military vet, and you get bossed around by your sergeant and stuff like that all the time. You don't want to get that at home too. So he used to like literally blow up and be like, I'm a grown man. Like, you don't talk to me like that. It's just, it's funny. It's funny how far we've come in life with the co-parenting situation because it was never an easy process. And people be like, how? When y'all was best friends, I'm like, I lost my friend when I had a kid. It changed everything. So I used to be able to talk to him about everything, confide in him about everything. It's peaceful. He confided in me. But then it just came to a halt. So we had to learn each other again, especially when we've known each other since teenage years. Then we had a baby at 22. We were still young. You're not the same person you were as a teenager. I hope not. Because I'm 36 now. I hope you improved over the years, but you're different in your 20s, you're different in your teens, you're different in your 30s. Every milestone in life, like you are a different person. You should be developing and maturing and things like that. Some people don't, but, or some people are delayed in that process because they're not doing their work. But you just have to relearn that person. And that's why it's important in my co-parenting program that I teach you how to heal, have an open mind, learn how to be friends again. Because each stage of life, like I had to learn how to be his friend again. Because I'm like, this is not the same friend I had, even though it was my best friend. I don't know you. I don't know who you are after the military, because the military did a work on. So I was like, I don't know who you are anymore. This is not the person I used to be friends with and like to hang out with. I don't want to hang out with you. Like, you're mean now. Like, I don't what happened? And so that's when that seek to understand come into play. That's when that asking questions, communicating, not interrogating, but just seeking to understand what's going on. Can you talk to me? Like open that line of communication. And this is when you're using the love language to be able to connect with them. If quality time is their love language, hey, let's go on not necessarily a date night. Like, we should just go out to just talk. Like, meet me at Starbucks, because I love Starbucks, but our Dutch brothers. And I'd be like, meet me for some coffee and let's chat. Because we have to communicate once again in person or over the phone. I'd be like, give me a phone call and we can talk about it. And I'll do mental health check-ins with him because I know, like, his struggles and issues. So I'll call and be like, hey, I'm just checking in with you to make sure you're good. Like, have you ate today? Being a friend, because when they know that you actually care, they're more willing, especially men, they're more willing to open up in that process. And for women, it's the same thing, because like I mentioned before, one of the previous episodes, women just miss their friend. When you have a baby with somebody and that person is like your all, your everything, and that baby messes that up, messes up that friendship, that bond, and then you don't stay together, your relationship don't work, it fall apart, you miss that friend. So when they feel that security and the friendship, you will get a lot further in that parenting situation. And not saying to like break up, because some people used to come at the trolls and be like, how could you promote people being friends if they're married? Just because you're married don't mean you can't be friends with the person you had a child with and you stuck dealing with for the rest of your life. Your partner can be friends with them too. I'm not saying you got to be one-on-one being sneaky and stuff. It's called adulting. Like my son, dad, and my boyfriend and me, we had all worked in the same place at one point in time together. And I used to have lunch with my son, dad. And people in the office thought that me and my son, dad was still together. They didn't know I had a boyfriend working there. But people can think and say what they want. Me and him were still friends. We would hang out together. He would deal with different females that I know about because we're close. He talked to me about a lot. And if he had like a difficult situation with a female, he wants some advice, because I know him more than anybody, he comes to me. And people be like, how could y'all talk about y'all spouse? Like that's just how we always been, because we were best friends. I knew all the females he dealt with, all the baby mamas before they became baby mamas. I just had that kind of connection with him where he can come to me and talk to me about anything, but we didn't want to be together, but we can be with other people. And we were comfortable talking to each other about those other people. He was around when I was in a long-term relationship for 3 years with my ex-fiance. And I would talk to him. He would come hang out with us. It wasn't no secret. My ex-fiance knew I had a best friend that was a male, because I usually only have male friends. Like, I don't really click with women like that. But he knew. So I knew he knew from the beginning. He knew from high school, because he grew up right across the street from our high school. So so it's like, it was never a secret. As long as you're not on those secret stuff and you secretly still want to be with that person, but you moved on, got married, and then you want to be screwing your baby mama still, that's when it becomes a situation. But I don't co-parent or teach people how to co-parent. My clients are not those people. Like, I tell them, do not be messing around with that person, because that will also mess up your co-parenting situation, because then you get feelings attached. And it just throws everything off. Like, me and my son and dad ain't messed around since the day I got pregnant. And that was back in like 2008. Don't touch me. We can give you each other a hug. I don't want nothing from you. No. This is where I draw the line. That's where I set boundaries. It wasn't supposed to happen then, and it's not going to happen now. So, you just have to communicate that too. Don't mislead. Because, the mistake I see men make so much. Just trying to charm, mislead the person just so they can have access to their kid. That is not the way. don't let no woman manipulate you, say you gotta be with me in order to have access to your kid. That ain't it. So communicate that. You gotta set, that's why I'm talking about the clear boundaries. You gotta set those boundaries. Say, I'm just here for my kid. Yes, I'll be your friend. We can hang out once a month or whatever, but it's gonna be family night and it's gonna be with our kid so they can see us healthily coexist together. Sometimes you gotta do that. If you got a boyfriend or a husband, they can come along too. Sometimes that's the best way, because then you don't have your spouse and mess up your home assuming and thinking y'all trying to be sneaky and side chick energy and all that stuff. Then you would not have to worry about that other drama on the other side, because I've dealt with that with the blended family thing. Like, I'm very transparent with my boyfriend. Be like, hey, just talk to my son and dad. Like, we had a good conversation. Like, I circle him in because he's there with me raising my son. Like, he's there. His dad is in another state, so my son sees my boyfriend more often. We don't live together because I set those healthy boundaries too. I might do an episode about that, because I did a podcast interview with someone on their platform yesterday and we talked about that. He was like, I respect those boundaries, because me as a single mom, I didn't bring no man around my son probably for the first 10 years of his life. I didn't date, like, I didn't have no guys around him. I was celibate for like 7 years, and I just gave his dad an opportunity to be in his life and him to create that bond with his dad without me interrupting it with someone else. Because I see too often women bring all these different men, then they become baby mama once, twice, three times, and you got all these different fathers or men around your kids. I don't like that. I don't like that. So I consciously, intentionally set boundaries. Like, me and my boyfriend been together over 2 years. We don't do the overnight thing. We don't play house. We have our own two houses. My son is the man of the house. So it's just me and my son. And as a single mom, he respects those boundaries. You're not going to spend a night. You're going to come over at a decent time. Or when my son is not here, like in the beginning, I didn't even let him meet my son until we was actually in a relationship, like 6 months in. Then he got to have access to my kid. Because I really, really, really frowned upon just bringing random people around. If I don't feel like this is something real, you would never meet my kid. You might see a picture, that's it. But as far as communicating with the other parent, you have to be on the same page, everybody. So, for example, because a lot of my clients are married and I'm helping them blend the family and coexist with the other parent that's outside of the household where there is another man raising their child. So everybody got to be on the same page. So sometimes in that situation, you're marrying three different ways of communicating, because it's like, how are we going to communicate, the people that's in a relationship together, about the other parent? Because sometimes my boyfriend don't want to hear about it. He'd be like, that's y'all situation, I don't even want to hear about it. And I'm fine with that, because he'd be like, I don't want to interfere. But I appreciate his opinion and his wisdom, because he's done it. He has bonus kids. He's co-parented. So I'm like, he's a little older than me. So I'm like, I want to get your opinion on how you did it, because you raised your bonus kids and there was different parents involved and stuff like that. So sometimes I do ask, like, hey, we're having struggles with this. Like, what is your opinion? And he would tell me. But I only talk to him when he give me permission. Because I'll ask him, like, hey, can I ask you a question about this? And I'm okay if you say no, but I just want to get your insight. And he's not telling me what to do. He just give me his opinion. So, you have to know each person's form of communication. You have to know how to talk to and not talk at. You have to know how to communicate without sounding like you just like interrogating the person. one of my biggest things was when I sent my son, he was 9, I believe, to Florida to stay with his dad for the whole month of December because he never had a Christmas with his dad because he was always like deployed, living in a different state or a different country. So he was like, "Mom, I never had Christmas with my dad." So I'm like, "Oh, you can go with your dad if you want." And as I mentioned before, like I homeschooled my son for about 4 years so he can have the freedom to travel and going back and forth between me and his dad, wherever state he was in at the time. So it's basically one of those things where people didn't understand, like one of the boundaries that me and my son and dad had was we didn't know where each other lived. And I know that might sound real crazy and sketchy, but for a long time, we didn't trust each other anymore. So he used to have a bunch of baby mama drama and like drama with girlfriends because he was a rolling stone. Was it for the streets? And I didn't want that coming my way, so he wouldn't have my address. So when we both lived in California at the same time and we were co-parenting, we would meet up at a train station, like a park and ride parking lot, and exchange my kids. So I didn't know his address because he was living with some female at the time, which is now baby mama number four. But now that I think about it, that's crazy. But yeah, he was living with her, so I didn't want to come to her house. So we would meet up at a train station. So I didn't have his address. I didn't know where he lived. I just knew what city he lived in. And he didn't know mine because it wasn't none of his business. I don't need you popping up. I don't need girlfriends popping up. I don't need no drama my way because my home is literally my place of peace. So I protect my energy at all costs. So that was what worked for us. It don't work for everybody. So people thought I was crazy when we communicated about my son coming to spend a month with him. He's like, "No problem." And again, he was living with another girl in Florida. So this was another random. It was always a different random. Every time my son went with him, he was living with somebody else. So I'm like, "Okay, is she really cool with him coming? Because did she know you got four kids?" Because a lot of times they didn't know that it was four kids, four baby mamas, four different states. So I'm like, I know and trust him, and I know he's not gonna put my son in any situation that would cause him harm. So me as a person, a healed person, I had to just let him be the dad that he's gonna be, no matter where he's staying, who he's with, and trust the process. So this was the first time he was gone that long, because usually it'll be he would go to Mississippi with his dad for about 2 weeks, 3 weeks at the most, but it never been a whole month. It was like 5 weeks. So I flew him as an unattended minor. That's another thing. People are like, "You send your kid out of state by himself, flying?" I'm like, "Yeah, my kid is used to flying. We go to three countries a year. Like he done been on some international flights and he used to flying, so he love it." And he's not scared because as my parenting style, he's independent. He's always know how to do this and do that by himself. Since the age of 3, he has my number memorized. He know everybody first and last name. So if he ever get lost, something happened, he know how to call me. He always had a cell phone since he was 5. I made sure his cell phone, his iPad, everything stay charged where he can get in contact with me. And that's my relationship with my son. I know how to communicate with him. He know emergency. He know cross streets, addresses. You have to teach your kids these things because when he was younger, there were some times where he came up missing in the store, and I'm like, "Oh my gosh," panicking. Then they'll call me on the monitor, "Hey, Monique Atkins, we have your son," because he knew my last name. He know his dad last name, aunties, cousins. I make sure he memorized everybody first and last name before he started kindergarten. I had the same phone number since 2005 before he was born, so he don't have to keep remembering different phone numbers, so he know my phone number by heart. But these were things that survival tactics that I gave him and shown him at a young age. And it's good now that I think about it, with all these school shootings and stuff, something happened, he get misplaced, he got to run. He know what to do. He know, always keep your phone on you. Always, like, the phone was in case of emergencies when he was 5 years old with his first iPhone when he got to school, because I worked 45 minutes away and we were in Nevada. We moved to Las Vegas, so it was just me and him. We were here by ourselves. Didn't really know many people. I had cousins here, but they were older, and I wasn't as close or spend as much time with them. So it was just me and him, and this was the way he communicated with his dad. Because that's another part of the communication as well. How would your kid communicate with their other parent? And that's what my next episode is going to be about, the parenting plan. So I got my son his own phone where your dad don't got to call me. He can call you, or you can call him anytime you want from your phone. I don't have to be that middle person communicating for you. But people thought I was crazy to send him to Florida. I didn't even know what city he lived in Florida. I just knew he lived in Florida. This is the airport he's going to, my son's going to, because I had to pay for the ticket. And that was it. So I didn't know where he was living, what the living situation was. But I know his dad, and his dad ain't going to just live anywhere. And he's not going to put him in harm's way. I just told my son, like, check in with me once a week. With his school stuff, because he was homeschooled, so I had to make sure his dad was helping him with his work and getting this submitted so I could sign off on it on my parent portal. But people thought I was crazy, like, you sending your kid halfway across the U.S. to be with his dad for a month because he just wanted to be with his dad, and you have no clue where he's at. So if my son, well, he did call me, I want to go home, I can't even go rescue him. I couldn't just get on a flight and be like, I'm on my way, I'm coming to get you. People thought I was crazy, but I just had to trust the process, because eventually after a week, he got used to being gone and like, oh, I love it here. And it drastically changed their relationship, because he finally had a chance to experience living with his dad that long, and how it would be if, like, there's another person to co-parent with, like, with his dad's girlfriend, and how they treat him and stuff like that. Like, I wasn't that parent, be like, hey, how is she treating you and stuff like that? Because my son will tell me he is a snitch and he would dry snitch on you in a quick minute. Like, if somebody said something to him and he didn't like it, mom, this person talked to me like this and I didn't like it, he would let me know. But he was good. And I know his dad is very strict. He would not let nobody disrespect him. He would not let nobody hit him. So I trusted him, and I would communicate with his dad whenever he needed help with, like, the homework and stuff. I'm like, we in communication, like, I got this. So people didn't agree with it, but they were like, oh, I guess you figured it out, because my son came back, he was happy, and it was good. It helped him build a stronger bond, because he was like, I never lived with my dad before, and he was able to do that. But and just like a year later, his dad wound up moving with us and moving here to Las Vegas. So he got to see us co-parent in the same household temporarily until he got his place and a job and stuff here. But then he was able to live with his dad full time during the week, and I get him on the weekend. So we were able to trade places because he enjoyed being around him so much. And I'm like, boys need their dad. Like, I swear, boys need their dad. Girls do too. But it's just something different about them having that male energy. So communicate that. Like, if you want to trade places with the other parent, because sometimes, like, in the beginning, he would always be like, it's easy parenting. Why are you always complaining? And you act like it's hard. All you got to do is feed him and da-da-da. And he had no reality about the situation, because all four of his kids, the moms raised the kid, and he didn't have to do anything. So when we traded places, it opened his eye. I wanted him to do it because it gave him a reality check. So now he handled parenting a lot different, because he respect the mothers of his kids now, because he don't want to do that full time every day, 24 hours a day. He'll get his temporary time where he'll have him maybe for the summer for a few weeks or whatever, or have my kid for a month or so randomly every few years. But he don't want to take on that permanently. Because I tell him, he can come stay with you. He about to be in high school. He'll come move to Texas. You can raise him. I don't mind. I'm not going to stop you. Because don't tease me with a good time. I love my kid. I love parenting him. But hell, break is a break. I'll visit you on the weekends. Because I told my son, that's a quick flight. I'll visit you on the weekend. He's like, I don't want to go live with my dad. I'm like, what if you ain't got no choice? Like, I need a break. But you have to communicate those things with the other parent. And you have to learn how you communicate. That's the most important. But I encourage you to do the love language test with your kid and with the other parent or anybody else that you're going to be connected to. Like, even if it's your parents, you know, the grandparents, everybody deserves to know how the other person likes to be loved. It makes your relationship much peaceful because they'll speak directly to your love language. My family know my love language is affirmations. I got them all over my house. I have affirmation pictures all throughout my house. Every wall I have one because it's reminding me you're a boss. You're doing a good job. It motivates me. It feeds my spirit. So that's why my house is my place of peace, because everywhere I look, I'm reminded of my love language. So it's important to tell people. You got to teach people how to love you. So it's important to let them know, here's my love languages, so they can know. Keep that in mind when you talk to me, when you deal with me. But I hope this information is helping you guys through this series. We got one more episode, which is the parenting plan. So that's going to be the next episode. And until next time, Coach Mo out. Don't forget to reach out to me if you need help with co-parenting and you're ready for the process. You have to be ready financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everything. So until next time, Coach Mo out.